Blog Talk Radio. ForRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. Welcome
to the show, where it's not too complex to see PTSD because we are heard. Hello, I'm your host, Renee Hamlet, Miss Washington Ambassador for PTSD, and I would like to introduce our co-host, Marie Waldrop, Miss U.S. Ambassador for PTSD. Marie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It sounds like we both kind of had a rough last few days, but I am extremely excited to be here and to have this opportunity to introduce another outlet to help us raise awareness and promote education with CPTSD and PTSD. Tonight's show is our first official show, and I just want to give a little bit of background about what the show is going to be like and about us. So we are both diagnosed with CPTSD, or are you diagnosed with PTSD?
I think they just diagnosed me with PTSD because at the time they
that's all they had. So I just want to explain how the show is going to work. Because June is PTSD Awareness Month, we are going to have a show tonight and a show sometime next week, but then after that we're going to aim for once a month. I want to introduce and tell you a little bit about myself. So as I said before, I'm Renee Hamlet. I am the Washington Ambassador for PTSD. I am also the current Miss USA TCP. I'm in Washington State, in Western Washington. I have been here most of my life. And let's see what else. I have a bachelor's in IT security. And besides that, I do modeling and acting for work. I know, Marie, you're diagnosed with PTSD back in 2002. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I just had started to, everything just started getting to me and everything, and I knew I needed some help. So I reached out and called the RAIN hotline, which is for sexual abuse, and they put me in contact with my local crisis center, and I talked with them probably about 3.5 months and before they finally talked me into seeing a counselor. But I started seeing a counselor, and then she told me that I needed to see a doctor. And to start with, I kind of refused because of the stigma and, you know, how you don't want that name, you know, to be attached to you or whatever.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So it was a little hard, you know, and then she asked me, she said, well, why do you not want to go? And so I explained to her why, and she said, well, not worry about that, because mine was totally different than what I was perceiving it to be, you know?
Yeah.
And so it made me feel a little more comfortable to be able to go in and see the doctor and talk with her. And, you know, first visit, and I was diagnosed.
Wow.
And so, yeah, they
How did you feel after they diagnosed you?
I guess I was kind of in shock, if it makes sense. But
yeah, no, I totally understand.
I didn't really, you know, didn't understand anything about any of this, so... you know, I guess you probably did the same thing as, you know, once you got your diagnosis, you probably went and started doing research, because I know I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So
I was diagnosed with complex PTSD actually just last year, last winter, and I had the same reaction. I was in shock and went home and, you know, started Googling it, looking at forums, seeing what other people had to say about it, especially because, like, they didn't tell me I had PTSD. They told me I had complex PTSD, and we're going to go over the difference tonight. But because that's not well known, I had no idea what it was. But after reading everything online, I actually felt relief because I finally understood why I feel the way I feel. And I don't know, it kind of like it validated me and my feelings instead of me just feeling like I was being a drama queen or making things up in my head like my abusers, you know, have told me in the past. So that was like a really big step into my healing process, was to be diagnosed. And I know, you know, some people might not understand that, but it really helps just to get that answer. So for me,
yeah,
I was diagnosed
really
with, yeah. I was diagnosed with a complex PTSD because I was in two abusive relationships. You know, one when I was in high school to my early adults, to being an early adult, like, I think, like, 21. And then again when was it? 2011 to probably, like, 2015, so kind of recent. And I think since the one in high school happened, I didn't know how to have a healthy relationship, so I kept just going from unhealthy relationships. None of them were abusive until the guy I told you about in 2011, but we'll go into detail about that more. There's so much I could say. But after that, I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what it was. I was having anxiety. I was, you know, tearful all the time, panicked. Just, I knew something was wrong. So I finally went and spoke to a doctor. I actually just went there for an anxiety. And she's like, well, we don't really treat that here, so you need to go see a therapist. So I went to the therapist, and I had been to therapists before, and I did not have good luck with it. So I really wasn't looking forward to this. But when I got there, I just felt really comfortable with the lady I had an appointment with. And to my surprise, I opened my mouth and everything just came out, and I was just bawling, and, you know, times I was laughing. It was just so much mixed emotions. And, you know, I'm just sitting there thinking, waiting for her to say, you know, diagnose me with something different, like maybe bipolar or just like depression, like really bad depression or anxiety. But she looks at me and very calmly said, you know, you have complex PTSD. And I looked at her, and I wasn't quite sure what that meant. I thought it meant – I can't remember what I thought it meant, but I was very confused. She explained a little bit to me, and I was like, wow. And I remember I started crying because I was so happy, and I was so relieved that I knew why I felt the way I did and that there was nothing wrong with me. What I was feeling was normal. And because of that, like, I got really excited about healing and learning more about it. So, yeah, I went home and I Googled it. Like, I still, to this day, I still Google things about it because there is so much to it. And it's not as easy. It's not black and white like some people think. So I'm still learning. And I just am very thankful to have this opportunity to help other people learn about it and be there for other people, because getting this all started and getting to a therapist is really, really difficult. And you and me have talked about that before, Marie. And I think we're going to have to dedicate an episode about that, because you said something to me that, like, stopped me in my shoes and was like, wow, I wish I saw that before. Do you remember what you said about what a therapist is?
Yes, where I told you that you're their boss, they're not your boss, and that you can if the therapist don't fit for you, then keep trying until you find one that does. Because
that's so true.
It is because I think you and I both have had at least one, if not two, that have just, they made us feel like everything that we went through was our fault. They didn't want to listen
or in our head.
It was for me, I felt like it was kind of about them and their ego, so to speak. I don't know.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it. That's exactly how it seems, was about their ego. Yeah. So we're definitely going to have to circle back to this conversation in another episode. I just want to try to get everybody to understand what PTSD is, and complex PTSD. So you've had yours since 2002.
Can I interject for a minute?
Of course you can.
It's funny because I feel really old, because when Marie was diagnosed, you're right, there was nothing that was a category of complex. And when I was diagnosed, they weren't even categorizing me as being PTSD, and I won't even repeat what they diagnosed me with back then. But I am really glad that they have put the C on the PTSD, and I'm glad you're going to explain the difference. But Marie, that is what you were diagnosed with, and that is what I was diagnosed with, and we just didn't have that way back then, and way even further back then, because it was in the year that I was diagnosed, and Marie doesn't even know this, was in 1992. And so it's been a long road. I'm really excited that you guys are doing this. Please continue, and know that I am just really blessed, and there is a lot of people that need to hear what you two have to say. So continue.
Oh, okay. Thank you for saying all that. It's funny that you mentioned about the CPTSD, because when I was diagnosed last year, I had told a couple people that I knew that I was diagnosed with it, and they're like, they ignored the C part completely, but they're like, PTSD, but you haven't been to war. So I think a lot of people associate PTSD with just,
But isn't that interesting? Remember, part of our history too, Renee, is that you were part of the GLOBE organization, and that was the 20-week program I taught. I don't know if you know that, right?
I think I did.
I taught that 20-week program twice a week for 3 years. And the second class, and even back then when we were teaching this in 2000 to 2003 back then, we weren't being categorized as PTSD. So the second class was called Welcome Home Soldier. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And it was all about comparing what women in abusive situations go through, comparing it to the soldier. And I loved that class because of this reason. So
Yeah.
It's been something that has been ignored, something that's been passed over, and keep raising the volume. Keep going. I'm going to be
quiet
now.
And another thing that kind of annoys me is that you'll talk to somebody who's also been through trauma. They didn't get diagnosed with PTSD or CPTSD, and they judge other people that do. Now, everybody handles trauma differently. So if you went through something that maybe wasn't as bad as what somebody else went through and they're okay and you got diagnosed, that means nothing's wrong with you. I want people to understand that there's nothing wrong with you. People just handle situations differently. And also something is like they might have PTSD or CPTSD, and they might not realize it till years down the road because it's not like something you get diagnosed with right away. This usually takes a while for all the symptoms to surface and to get that diagnosis.
So true. So true.
Yeah. So I guess we'll talk a little bit about the PTSD. I mean, most people know that PTSD stands for post-traumatic stress disorder, and the CPTSD stands for complex PTSD or complex post-traumatic stress disorder. Tongue twister. Marie, do you want to talk a little bit about like the CPTSD and what that's all about?
Yes, it's so similar to the you have so many symptoms and everything that is so similar to the regular post-traumatic stress disorder. And I think that's why it is just so easy to say, okay, you just have PTSD, you know? And because from things that I have read, they have said, you know, that even the doctors and all still don't have a complete understanding of complex PTSD. But it's CPTSD is like more than like when a person goes through multiple traumas. And it could be like, you know, one trauma after another, or it could be a trauma that has that lasts long term, like for sexual abuse and just domestic violence. Yes, and even though these folks really, my heart goes out to them, the children and women that get pulled into commercial sexual abuse, such as trafficking or prostitution. You know, they get all these names, and, you know, people call them whores and different stuff like that. People's got to realize they don't even have a choice in the matter.
Exactly.
You know? And so it irritates me when I hear people call them stuff like that, because they're made to do this stuff. And but a lot of the symptoms. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna talk a little bit about that, about how people don't understand like that they're being forced into this, and people don't understand like if you're in an abusive relationship, a lot of the time you can't just walk away.
True. That is so true. I mean, like when I was younger, and I felt like there was a sign on my back because it was like one right after the other. I couldn't turn around without somebody wanting to do something to me sexually. And then one of my abusers, he was mean, very mean as well. So not only and I had no idea about what sexual abuse or domestic violence was, but he was physically abusive as well. If you didn't comply to the things that he wanted you to do, he would, you know, twist your arm or do, you know, smack you upside the head or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And it really just affects your whole being. And people do not understand it, you know.
Yeah.
So I am also thankful that we're doing this show so people can understand how this affects a person's life, you know.
Yeah, and it's not just something you can get over.
No, yeah, and I think you and I both have talked about how many times have we been told that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Happened a long time ago, yep. Get over it.
Yep.
Okay, ladies, I'm going to have to interject.
Don't say.
Right.
I'm going to have to interject again, because what have I said?
Okay.
You don't get over it, okay?
No,
God didn't say, yay, though I get over the valley of the shadow of death, did he? No, it's yay, though I walk through it. We have to walk through it.
Yep.
And those women that I have watched over all these years that have tried to get over it don't make it. They usually have to have a crutch, usually alcohol or something, because they're just trying to get over it. And you can never get over it, because...
Yeah.
Walking through, that's why. Yay, though I walk through. And it's walking, not running. And most of the time when you run through it, you drop something and you have to go back. And it sucks big time. I've done it. I highly recommend not doing it. Listen to what the instructions we were given. And, next time someone says get over it, say it doesn't say yay, though I get over the valley of the shadow of death. And just walk away. It's pretty simple, okay? You know, let them soak on that for a little while. But one of the other things that I wanted to hold your thought for a second, because I wanted to go back to write it down in a note. Going back to when you're suffering from PTSD, when it comes to, I'm going to share something that I've come to learn. When you are abused as a child, misused as a child, you're taught things that you're not supposed to know. So what happens is, indirectly, you become a participant in your own abuse. That's why it's like we are abused all the time, over and over and over again. We don't know why, but it's because it's what we were taught. So part of healing from the PTSD and walking through that is being able to understand that it wasn't our fault that we became a participant in our own abuse, but it's such a holder of shame in a lot of little girls that part of the PTSD, we go back and we over and we live it over and over and over. That's where night terrors come in, because we feel so bad about our own selves, and the PTSD just brings it to life over and over. So if you don't come from child sexual abuse and you're coming from PTSD in your older age, it's hard to comprehend that. And so I wanted your audience to really understand that part of why PTSD from child sexual abuse is so thick is because there's so much shame that we walk through.
Yeah. Exactly. And what I was going to say was... when people knew I was going to therapy and stuff, and I would, you know, I would start to be open about it. I sometimes got insults. Well, you're in therapy, so why aren't you better yet? It's not something that happens overnight. You're not going to go see a therapist and be automatically over it, quote unquote.
True.
It's going to take work, and there's going to be very many layers of it that you have to work through. And like what you said, you can't run through it. To get better, you need to do all that dirty work. And I know it sounds scary and frightening, but if you have a great therapist, it's going to be amazing. Like, you're going to talk about it, and it's going to be scary and stuff, but when it's done, you're going to feel better about it, and you're going to feel stronger. And the things that happen to you are not going to seem as scary, even though it is, but you're going to feel like you have some of your power back, because that's one thing that I felt. I felt like I was powerless. And I think that's why I ended up getting into more bad relationships, almost like I deserved it. I'm not quite sure, but you have to take all of it. You have to peel back every layer.
Yeah, I can agree with what you just said, because you do get to that point where you start questioning, you know, maybe this is what I was made for, because it just keeps happening, you know.
Yeah.
And you do have those thoughts. But, you know, the thing is, now we know we were not made for that. Those things were done to us. I mean, for the longest time, I had an issue with believing that God could not love me, because it affects every aspect of your life, even your spiritual life. And I felt like God couldn't love me because I was too tainted. I was too dirty, too ugly for him to love me. But God loves you unconditionally, no matter what has happened to you or what you've been through.
Yes, exactly. And he knows what's going on and what you're going through, and he loves you no matter what. And it's, you know, he's there for you to talk to and stuff. He's never going to think less of you or be disgusted by you or anything like that. And I went through that exact same thing. I also went through the thing where I was like, he must hate me, because why else would I be going through this? I guess, you know, I do deserve this, and he's allowing it. You go through all these things in your head that just, it's like you're trying to find the reason why this is the way it is. And you can't until you realize that you have PTSD or complex PTSD, and the way that you are thinking and feeling is normal.
That's true. That's true. Because, I mean, for the longest time, I was like you. I was like, what is going on with me? You know, you're just trying to find the reason, you know, what is wrong with me, you know?
Yeah.
And, but you have to go through the work to understand it. And like you said earlier, it is hard to do the
it
work,
is.
But, you know, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And, you know, I promise you, you will, you know, get further and further along in your healing process, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like where I used to cry a lot, or like the panic and anxiety attacks would be so strong and severe that, you know, I would just have to go curl up in the bed, you know, and, you know, but now they're not like that. They're not that as intense or anything. You know, I used to, if I would talk to somebody about what I went through, I couldn't get through it without crying, you know, when I'm talking to my therapist. But now I can talk about it if something comes up, and then I'm like, well, I guess, you know I've talked over and over about certain things, but sometimes we have to do that to get all that junk out. You know what I mean?
Because you've had it buried down.
Yeah, that's what I always said, you know, well, God is sweeping all those chambers, all those nooks and crannies out of where all that junk is hid, you know. But now, once it's all out, you know, we're going to just breathe a sigh of relief, like, thank you, you know.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't be who we are today if we didn't go through this, and we wouldn't be able to have the show to help others understand that they're not alone in this.
Yeah.
And they too
and
can get to where we are.
Exactly. And see, something else, it's like with complex PTSD, there's going to be many, many different traumas. You can't go to therapy and talk about one incident and think that's going to help. You have to talk about every single one. Like I also have PTSD from a horrible car accident I was in. I was put into a coma. I broke multiple bones. And then after that, a few months after that, somebody that I was friends with got into the exact same type of car accident, but he didn't survive. So then I had survivor's guilt. And so that just added to more trauma that I was already dealing with. And I want to say about 3 years, I couldn't drive. I was too terrified to. And to this day, I'm still terrified to drive, especially in rain, since that's when it happened. So you have to go through every trauma, even if you think it's insignificant, because the more you open up about it and you start talking to things, the more things are going to make sense as to why you do the things you do. Like, I get anxiety every time I go to Southern Washington, and I really didn't know why,
but you know, I'd get sick to my stomach. And then I, once I learned about PTSD and what these things are called, triggers, where you have things that remind you of your abuser or the trauma that you went through. Every time I'd go down there, I would feel sick, and I realized it was because that area reminded me of him, because this is where he grew up. And just like the most insignificant things may not be a huge deal until you start connecting the dots, and you'll see how everything is connected, and that'll really help with your healing.
That's
if that
true.
Makes sense. I hope it does.
It does. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I feel like it's hard to explain exactly what is going on in your head. Like, you know, I've been doing tons of research, and I still feel like sometimes it's hard for me to verbalize what I'm feeling so people will understand. Do you ever feel like that?
I have a lot, yes.
Yeah.
Can I interject again,
yes.
Ladies? Can I give
yes.
you an example that you can use?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Okay. It's a pretty easy example, and mostly everybody can get it, okay? And this is how I give them a visual of what a trigger is, okay? Imagine this. You drive up and you park your car in front of Macy's, and you go up to the door and you open the door, and the minute you open the door, you are so sick to your stomach, you have to close the door, you get back in your car, and you leave. You don't know what
yeah.
happened. The next day,
yep.
you got to go to Macy's. Actually, you got to go to the mall, okay? But you get in the car, you go over there, you open the door, you take 5 steps in. Oh, my God, your stomach is sick. You've got to get back in the car and leave again. But
mm-hmm.
you got at least 5 or 6 steps in, right?
Yeah.
The next day, you go in and you open the door, you walk in through Macy's, you get right to the mall, and no way, you got to turn back around, you're sick. The next day,
mm-hmm.
you get up, you walk in, you walk through, you get through the other side into the mall, and you realize it was the smell of his cologne at the cologne counter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That,
okay.
That nails it on the head, yeah.
Yes,
and
that's
you don't
true.
Really know what it is, okay? The first
mm-hmm.
time you get into the door, boom, it hits you. And because you're not familiar with what a trigger is and understand what a trigger is, you just panic.
Yeah.
And blow out is how
yeah,
that I call it.
I'm going to have to explain that to people because...
Okay.
Yeah, that's like the best explanation I've ever heard, because that's
there
exactly
you,
how I was.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm turning off again.
Yeah.
Sorry, lady.
So, yeah, it's okay. So that was a great example. So if you're feeling a certain way doing something and you can't understand why you're feeling that way, you're probably being triggered, and you're going to have to learn. I'm still learning. I still have triggers I don't know about, and it's going to happen probably for the rest of my life, because I'm going to have different circumstances come up that don't happen often. And I'm going to have to learn that, oh, that was a trigger, and learn how to deal with it. So trigger and learning how to help yourself get grounded is a huge thing. And being grounded means that you pull yourself back out of that memory, that smell or that taste or something that triggers your traumatic event. You have to find something to pull you back into where you are today and say, look, I'm not in that event anymore, that traumatic event. I'm here at the mall. That person's not here. And that really helps. So that's something we'll talk about too. But I want to talk a little bit more about the symptoms of CPTSD. CPTSD, yeah. I always say it too fast.
yeah.
One of the things that I had an issue with was, well, one, talking fast. That's one of my issues. But emotions, getting upset about things for something somebody else wouldn't get upset by and not understanding it. Like, for example, I was watching a movie and this guy came on TV and the scene really upset me and I got angry and tearful and I didn't know why. It didn't make sense to me either, and that makes it so much worse. It's so frustrating because you don't know why you feel like this. Well, you know, weeks later I realized he reminded me of my abuser, and it can be anything from the shape of his nose to the smiles, the way he parts his hair. just the smallest things could, you know, they can trigger somebody. So that was, that's something you should really look out for. Like if you're noticing that you're being upset over things that you can't explain why, that's a pretty big sign that it's your trauma getting to you, and you probably have CPTSD, especially if you're always replaying the memories of the events. And with the dreams that we talked about, the nightmares, that was a huge thing for me. I mean, I would wake up screaming and crying. And if I had somebody else in the house, they would be like, what's going on? And come wake me up. And, man, I did not get sleep that well for years. That's one of the big signs. Did you ever have that issue?
Yes, I did have that issue.
Do you still have
time. It? I do at times, and now I don't realize when I do it. I'm usually told by, you know, somebody in the house that, you know, you were screaming in your sleep, you know.
And it's almost like you get used to it.
I kind of feel bad because I'm like, you know, I'm sorry. I don't know anything about it, you know.
Yeah, I noticed that I was having horrible nightmares then. Probably about a year after therapy, they had gotten a lot better. But I've noticed if something happens during the day that reminds me of my abuser or the traumatic event I went through, I will have nightmares of that person and that memory. But because I know how to kind of deal with that stuff now, I'll wake up and I'll smile. I won't cry anymore because it would ruin my whole entire day, maybe even my week. But now I've really taught myself to realize that is just a memory, and that's not my life anymore. And that's something that's really important. You are not doomed to have this be the rest of your life. You can stop the cycle of abuse or get over the traumatic event, like in sense of not having it be over your head anymore and not controlling your life. You can get there.
Not reliving it.
I'm really hoping that this will help. If I had done more research or had somebody talk about more, if I saw more advertisement or articles about CPTSD or PTSD that were more than just about war, I think that things would have turned around for me a lot sooner. And I am surprised of the lack of information I actually didn't see before I got diagnosed. It is not out there.
All right. It's not. Yeah. Available anywhere. I mean, you go into doctor's office or hospitals or anything right now, you wouldn't be able to find a pamphlet as quick as you would on, you know, say asthma or something. And I'm not, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They should have pamphlets out for people because there's so many people that, you know, have this stuff that don't realize it and they don't go and talk to their doctor or they don't realize that they need a therapist or anything else because they feel like, you know, like what we talked about, what's wrong with me, but they're too afraid to make that step to actually find out.
Yeah,
here's
exactly.
Something for a future show, ladies, because I've been teaching about that, remember, since 2000. Screaming about it in silence because no one's listening. So here's the question. Why are they not making it public? Someone is benefiting. Somebody is. Because it's just now that the C came into it. And since your show is CPTSD, we need to see why. Why have they kept it quiet? Because I have been teaching on this since 2000. That's 20 years, man, okay?
Wow.
And they're just now putting a C on it? I mean, why?
Yeah.
Who benefited? That's the question that I'd like to see a show dedicated on. And, yeah, it probably gets more into the political side of what, but this is why we're here, to see why PTSD is labeled the way that it is. So that's just something I'm throwing out.
Yeah, I definitely want to do a show like that. I think that's going to be a very interesting show.
Well, in my opinion, they still just don't want to hear the stuff about abuse, whether it's sexual abuse or domestic violence or even the trafficking. They do not want.
Yeah, they just
don't
want
those ugly to be out, you know?
Yeah, I don't understand that. And that's just like letting these people who do those things get away with it. And when I first wanted to start talking about what happened to me, I had people actually say, well, if you start talking about how you're abused, that's just going to put your abuser out on blast, and he's just going to get the attention. And I was like, no, I'm not sitting there trying to do anything to him. I'm doing this for me. I don't use his name or either of their names, but it has nothing to do with them. It all has to do with helping other people. And I kind of wonder if that's maybe one of the reasons people don't really talk about it is because of the person who's doing it. You know, obviously being afraid of what they would do. And to be honest, like, I was kind of nervous about starting to post stuff on Facebook in case, you know, the latest one came on and read stuff. I mean, he's going to know it was him, you know. But
right.
I got a little bit nervous.
For me,
and I was...
For me, that was one of the factors in that, because a lot of abusers, they do in younger children, and I'm sure they do in in adults and even teenagers, they use a fear tactic.
They do, yes.
And I was even told that if I said anything that they would kill somebody close to me or
mm-hmm.
or my loved pets. And
yeah.
That actually did happen. So it that kind of screwed me up as well. When I first opened my mouth about one of my abusers, he ended up killing one of my beloved pets. And
oh,
so
gosh,
that,
I'm so sorry.
That messed me up big time, but I did not let him stop me from, I mean, it did stop me for a moment of not saying anything else, because I'm like, nobody is listening or hearing me. Why?
Yeah.
You know, why?
Yeah.
But I later on opened my mouth again and started talking, and ever since then, I think it was my late 20s, I'm like, I won't be quiet anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So
I really just go ahead.
I was going to say the same thing to you, but yeah. You know, it's just really hard for people to want to open their mouth to talk about, because most abusers use a fear tactic, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, mine did. And they also, like, burned it into my brain that no one's going to believe you because you're worthless. Nobody loves you.
Yep.
Nobody cares about you. Especially the last one I did, he always said, nobody likes you. Nobody
mm-hmm.
likes you at all. Everybody hates hanging around with you. They think you're annoying. And I lost
mm-hmm.
all my friends, not because they hated me, but because they hated him, and they couldn't be around him and see me go through what I was going through. I
and
just
then
didn't
you
realize
believed
that's
his
that's
lies.
What they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, and you believed his lies because it appeared to be true what he was saying. I had that same
yeah, exactly.
thing with me because, you know, I'm like, well, it must be true what he's saying because, you know, they're not coming around me anymore, you know.
Yeah.
But in fear, you don't want to ask them, you know, why they're not coming around, because you just automatically believe the lie that has been fed to you.
Yeah, exactly. And this is just like when you have PTSD or CPTSD, obviously you're going to have depression and anxiety, but depending on your traumatic event, there's going to be a lot of self-loathing, feeling unloved. It's just, there's so much more to it emotionally that people don't understand. I always get, well, he treated you bad, but he was just a bad person. You know, you're too good for that. You know, you deserve better. But I didn't see that, because I was told for so long that I wasn't good enough. And that,
exactly.
And that's, you know, something, one of the things I think I've had a really hard time with, and sometimes I catch myself, you know, wanting to get involved with something or wanting to do something, and then, like, I hear that voice in the back of my head saying, you're not good enough. You can't do it. People will make fun of you. People will think you're annoying. And I catch myself, I'm just like, ugh, you know? Like, and then I think to myself about what he is and what he does with his life. I'm like, everything he told me was a lie. And that's something I constantly have to tell myself, and I think a lot of people do, but it gets easier and easier as time goes. Yeah. And there's so much other things that can happen with having CPTSD, and you and me both, well, at least I know I probably have, I have fibromyalgia, but the doctors seem to think it's because of my trauma. And I know a lot of other women who have fibro, and they also have PTSD. So it's just so much stuff that people don't know about go along with complex PTSD. And that's why it's so complex. There's just so much information and things that, like, I don't even think about of, like, why I'm feeling or acting that way. And then I realize it's because of my trauma. I'm just like, wow. It just amazes me to this day how much stuff it has affected. And to the point now that, you know, my physical health.
That's true. And for me, once I figured out that it started affecting my physical health, I started getting angry, you know.
Yeah.
And it's weird that, you know, at the time, because of all the negative that they have, that they told us, and like you said, branded in our brain, so to speak, you know, we always think it's something about us. And, you know, but after I started learning more and more and everything, and then with, like you said, the fibro and stuff like that, the physical ailments and stuff, it's almost like you could feel in, like, your joints that they, you know, say they twisted your wrist or something, and you're having pain from, you know, fibro on where they either hit you somewhere or whatever in the exact spots, and then you just start getting totally angry because it's like, you know, you just want to start swearing their name, so to speak, you know.
When I was 17, my abuser hit me very hard on my thigh, and I swear for a couple of years, if the light hit my thigh right, you could still see a faint bruise. And I still, to this day, get pain in that leg where he had hit. And I thought for the longest time, like, maybe he caused damage, but now that I know, like, my body has memorized, like, that spot right there, and the fibro just makes it hurt. Because I've also had, like, a rib injury from falling on cement stairs, and that, those pains are still there too, even though my body is actually physically okay.
And that is one thing that's so weird about our bodies, and it goes into which we'll have to do more research and stuff on. Our bodies do have memories, and I didn't realize that until I was reading an article, and it was talking about body memories, and I'm like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that you, like, could know something, you know, have this for so many years, but, like, 5 years later, you find something new, like, oh, okay, so that explains it. It's like the ongoing, it's just ongoing. It just never, it's not, like I was saying, it's not black and white. It's not like, here's a set of, like, five symptoms. It has so many different aspects to it.
That is so true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it gives you
intrusive memories, you know, and negative thoughts and moods and just so much.
Yeah. And that can also lead to addiction, to try to numb the pain of what you're feeling physically and mentally. And that's something I've seen a lot of people is, especially from childhood trauma, they don't understand. And so when they become a teenager to an early adult, they get involved with drugs and alcohol, and then their life spirals out of control, and they don't know why, they don't understand why, and it really makes me mad when people sit there and look at them and say, oh, they're just an addict, they're just a POS, when this person is hurting so bad that they feel the only escape that they can do is drugs and alcohol, And
right.
That's
and,
just,
and
that's
there's
just
so many
so
other
sad.
Things that people can use as an addiction to cope
yeah.
with. And for me, I didn't realize it for the longest time, but I used food to comfort myself.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
think that become an addiction for me as well. And then there's people that also, which is really, people don't really get this either. They also, even though they may have been sexually abused
mm-hmm.
or anything like that, they will turn anything
yeah,
they can against
active.
Yourself and use sex as an addiction to help try to get over that. But those things actually make everything worse. It just starts mm-hmm. compiling on to the PTSD.
Yeah, and I think that's something we should touch base on another show and get more in depth with, because a lot of people don't realize that they're doing certain things because of their trauma. You know, some people even use shopping. It's that little bit of a high with shopping that kind of eases the pain and the memories. At least for me, that's what it was. For everybody, it's different. But we're
okay.
getting close to almost being an hour. So I just want to say a few things before we go into prayer. I want people to know that no matter what your traumatic event it was either, you know, a car accident, combat, childhood abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, car accident, even just being at the wrong place at the wrong time and seeing them, you know, like a burglary or something like that, you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. Me and Marie are always here for you. You can go to our Facebook page. The radio show is, correct me if I'm wrong, SEEPTSD. So it's CPTSD. And reach out to us. You can message us there. You can find our individual Facebook pages. And we're here for you. We're going to help guide you if you need to find a therapist. I'm more than willing to help you out. I just don't want anybody feeling ashamed or feeling like they have no one to turn to. I know a lot of people don't, and I just want everyone to know that, you know, we are here, and we're here to help. So please reach out. If there's something you want us to talk about on a future episode, reach out and let us know, and we'll do a show on that. Or if you or you know somebody who'd like to be on the show, reach out too, and we'd love to have you as a guest. And with that said, do you want to close out on prayer?
Yes, I will. Lord, we thank
okay.
you for allowing us to be able to be here today and do this show and to bring awareness and attention to this to complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So many people are hurting from this. And Lord, we just want you to use us in a mighty way to help bring healing to all those people that feel alone, feel like nobody is hearing them or understands, because we do. We've been there, and we want to show them the love and help them see that they can too begin their journey to healing. We give you all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
talkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Building champions through fitness.